Okay. So Simon Tov Chof Tes Sif Aleph. So we're a little bit late for Hilchos Pesach over here, but okay, better late than never. We're getting a head start for next year. Sharlin b'Hilchos Pesach Kadam Pesach Shloshim Yom. So the halacha is that Chazal instituted, and the Gemara says that actually this was a tekana from Moshe Rabbeinu, that 30 days before the Yom Tov, a person is supposed to start learning the halachas of the Yom Tov. Specifically in regards to Pesach, we'll see maybe a discussion, does the same length of time apply to the other Yom Tovim as well? So the 30 days before Pesach, we start on learning Hilchos Pesach, which that means that's utter. It's Purim, I'm sorry. That's what I wanted to say, that's Purim. Purim is 30 days before Pesach. Now, Hago, Minig, Liknas, Chitim, Chalkan, Laniyim, Lutzarech, Pesach. So there's a din of Mos Chitim, which the Minig is they would actually, historically what they do, they would actually give out the wheat, and the people would then use that as to make into flour and to make matzahs. So once you're a member of the city, this is a tax which is put upon the city. Every member of the city is taxed that they have to provide some amount of wheat or money to buy the wheat. And everybody in the city is included in this tax. And we'll see, are there any exceptions to this tax that of Moos Chitim. So Moos Chitim is a Chiyuv. Now, Bizman, they had a Kila, which was functioning, so that would be very clear how that would work. Nowadays, we don't have a functioning kahila which can tax somebody and force them to pay. So how does it apply? We'll have to see how that works. I just want to mention one point over here, just a historical fact. My mother-in-law described to us the way it used to work in the shtetl by her, was that that after Pesach, the baker would take the big oven that he used, and they would burn it out and kosher for Pesach. And each family would have a day it was their turn to bake matzahs. So they would come and they would grind the wheat, and they would bake that family would bake the matzahs that day in the oven. So we can picture that. Thank you. We can picture that means this idea of giving chitim to each family. So each family would then take it and make it to matzah. So it wasn't like that we would provide them with matzahs, we would provide them with the wherewithal to make the matzahs. And that was a normal way of doing it historically in Europe. Okay. Mr. Burris of Cotton Olive. Charlene Bechel's a pastor. So there's a 30 days prior to Pesach, we start learning Hilchos Pesach. So the language of Chazal is Sharlim Bedarshim, which we ask questions in regards to it, and the Rav would give answers in regards to it. It should be the topic of discussion. The Gemara actually says this, that this is a chiyuv on the Rebbe to teach, which means if he wants to teach a different topic, the Talmidim, the Gemara says, would prefer learning Hilchos Pesach, he has to accede to their request and learn Hilchos Pesach. So in a certain sense, he's meshubit to the Talmidim during that time of the year to learn this topic. And the rest of the year, really, the Rebbe gets to choose the topic. But during this time of year, he gets precedence. Second halacha that if two Talmidim ask a halacha question, the one who's asking Hilchos Pesach gets precedence because he's being shal ke'inyan, the Zemor's Lashon. That one of the attributes of a Talmud Chacham is that he's shal ke'inyan. He asks on target. So asking about Hilchos Pesach from 30 days beforehand is being shal ke'inyan, which means interesting point. The person asked me a shayla on Purim, which is 30 days before Pesach, about Pesach, I would have a chiyuv to answer him, and I wouldn't tell him, you know, the Rebbe can come up, it's Purim today, ask me again tomorrow. Okay. Shal Hilchos Pesach. So the more learns this out from the fact that we see the more in Pesachim in the first parak, the Moshe Rabbeinu already started discussing the halachas of Pesach Sheni 30 days beforehand. Now the next point over here is that this applies to the other Yom Tovim as well. So 30 days before Sukkot, one would start discussing the halachas of Sukkot. So if you look at the Sharatzin in Sukkot and Beis, she says Rashi become a mekumis places prepare kama the Megillah. Yad Ephraim Yerushalmi before his prepared Gimel the Shkolim. Kamok and Masha Mikamach Reinim Dinyan Yomtiv Hurak Mitzad Minhaga. The Pesach is a din, it's a Gemara. The other Yom Tov, it's only a minig. But the Birgro, Priachodesh, Marixia, Masha the Yomtiv Hukapesach, Ayin Shom, Chin Masha Rukeach. So there seems to be the discussion, is this a halachic requirement starting for the other Yom Tov, or it's only Pesach is halach, and the other Yom Tov is a minig. Now, the next question is, what about Shavuos? So that's true by Sukkot as well. What about Shavuos? If I'm here to grow, it's a dietary, but Sarah Sagi Miyam Aleph Pesivan. He understands that this halach of 30 days is only because there's a large amount of halachas for Pesach and the large amount of halachas for Sukkot. You don't have anything that approximates that level of halacha regards to Shavuos. I mean, you have basically Hilchos Yom Tov. And he the Gra's source is a Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara seems to indicate that there was something called the Yarche Kala. There was twice a year that they would gather everybody together. Historical Yarche Kala was a month of Kala, a month of learning. Kala was the name of the gathering together of learning. So it was prior to Pesach and prior to Sukkot. Those were the two Yarche Kalas. Apparently there wasn't a Yarche Kala before Shavuos. So indicates that this halacha was translated into the hanhaga that they had, that they would interface with the tzibur twice a year to make sure they became this halacha of teaching the halachas. But for sure, it wasn't necessary to have this month of preparation. The chiyav l'shashim hurak b'pesach mishum liyesh b'han halachas rabbis. So the truth is, even this 30-day requirement was only for Pesach, not even for Sukkot. Pesach still has more halachas than Sukkot. How so? There are many halachas. So you imagine in the situation where people were doing all these processes themselves, you had to make sure that people knew how to do the tchina of the chitim properly and baking the matzahs properly. We have multiple simonim about how to bake the matzahs. Most of us are not baking matzahs. We have multiple simonim about the halachas of bir chametz or golas kelim. Golas kelim actually is two simonim, but one of the total to the two simonim is over 50 sifim. So we don't have anything which approximates that in Hilchos Sukkos. Hilchos Sukkah. I think the longest simon, just the top of my head, the longest simon in Hilchos Sukkot between Sukkah and Lulav and Esrog, the Lama Simon is about 23 Simonim, something like that. Or maybe 18 Simonim even is the longest Simon. So you don't have anything like that. Shelo, Imein Oysim Asam, Kilchusein, Karim Pesach, Lesbut, Karim Pesach. Furthermore, these things, you can't wait till Pesach to start baking matzahs. So you have to learn the lachas beforehand. You can't wait till Pesach to start being Magol the Kalim. You have to be Magol the Kalim beforehand. So that's why we have to start 30 days beforehand. Mashiach and Bashar Yom Tov, Dai Beis Yomim Kodem, we have a few days beforehand is sufficient. V'akapana b'yom tov kufa, l'kul yam atzarech lisha b'lidresh b'chol yom, tov b'hilchaseo, k'nisa b'soif megillah. Now, there is a second halacha, besides the 30 days beforehand, that where he's going to quote in second the Gemara Megillah at the end, Mamash, the last Gemara Masechta's Megillah, You need to discuss the halachas of that time during the time. Hilchos Pesach be Pesach, Hilchos Atzeres be Atzeres, Hilchos Chag be Chag. So on Sukkot, you need to learn the teach about the halachas of Sukkot, etc. So that's everybody agrees applies all the Yom Tov on the Yom Tov itself. The question is, once you have this halacha of 30 days beforehand, so what do you need this separate halacha about Pesach itself teaching me these halachas of on Pesach if you're starting ready 30 days before in Kal v'chomer obviously on Pesach itself? The one answer is that Tzvi, who's that?
Adam, I come. Adam, just ask you if you could possible to mute, okay? Thank you. Unless you have a question. This was the Kadosh Moshe Rabbeinu, and then that was put in place, as it were, before the other Takana, one way of understanding it. There's actually a discussion that so this is, but to understand that this is the Takana of Moshe Rabbeinu himself, this is one of our earliest Takanas that we have, with this halacha that on Pesach, a person should be learning Hilchos Pesach, etc. So we are being Mekayim, that's Takana. Okay. Now, the Chok Yaakov, the Shar Tzion in Sivkot and Hay raises the question, we don't see this happening necessarily. So he wants to suggest, he brings, why people make it? Because we lay in B'yana Shoyom. But, it's not just talking about the topic of the day. It has to be halachas, mashos and mashamutter, and that's the yalkut, etc. So therefore, the idea of being mekayim, that there is shalom darshan binyan shayim, is possibly, but the lashon is could be the two dinim. There's one din of Shalom Darshan B'yana Shayoyim is one topic, which we're Mekayim through Kriyas HaTorah. And a second din is Hechaz Pesach B'Pesach, which means you have to learn the halachas as well. So hopefully we're Mekayim the din of B'yana Shayoyim by the different topics which you've had over the Suddhas, but we aren't necessarily learning Hilchus, the halachas of the Yom Tov. So a person really should be Mekayim, try to be Mekayim that. Okay. Shloshim Yom. So this should be done starting 30 days beforehand. So this starts on the day of Purim, that's 30 days before Pesach. Now, when is the proper Shabbos for Shabbos HaGadol? So the proper Shabbos for Shabbos HaGadol is a Shabbos which will allow you to implement what you learned Lamaisa. So when Pesach is Motzi Shabbos, Shabbos HaGadol, according to this, it's not the drasha of Shabbos HaGadol. Drasha is not the Shabbos immediately before Pesach; it's the Shabbos before that. Therefore, you have a week in time to implement this. When I was a bacher, I went to the there's a shul in Bar Park called Shomer Shabbos. So it's famous for its multiple minyanim throughout the day, throughout the week, etc. But besides that, there actually is a shul where people daven there on Shabbos. And there was a Rav, Rav Turnauer, and I went to his Shabbos HaGadol Drasha, I think twice, when I was a bacher. And both times, he really made it a point that to spend part of the time in the Shabbos HaGadol Drasha teaching Hilchos Pesach, pointing out halachas which were not so well known, and things that you should be aware of, to do the mice, etc. So that's the point of this of the drasha. What's the makayim? This halacha of shalom darshim. We don't have people practically being available to take 30 days off like the Yarchi Kala and learning Hilchos Pesach. But at least the Shabbos beforehand, we would make sure that they teach the halachas of Pesach. So the idea that the drasha became a shikol Torah and a mutzah shmuz, it seems to be that wasn't necessarily always done like that. If you look at the Nadav Yehuda's Shabbos HaGadol Drasha, you will see that he actually had Musar, and he had Alumnus Ashtikol, and he also had Halachas. So part of the Drasha was given over to discussing practical Halachas Lamaisa. And with Shabbos Shuva, and the same thing with Shabbos Shuva, Shabbos Shuva was the opportunity to discuss the Halachas of Sukkos. Now, Vahikir Mishabur says, Laharis La'am Darchi Hashem, Lamed Hamaisa Shayasu, Dana Dine Hagolo Ubir Chomets of Hesias Amatsa, Shahilchas Apesach. The main purpose of these drushes was to teach the halachas. Chem Shabashuba Lidrash Lifnaim, Hilchas Yom Kippur, Machagasukas, Levad Mashadarish Minyan Achuba. Besides giving them Musar, we need to teach them what to do. Almiya Drosha Rak Pilpul, Drush Ba'alma, and Yotzin Bezeyede Chavas. Just having a Shikolam the Shatara, it is not a valid kiyum, that Mishnah Berurah says, of the purpose of the drasha. So we have to have some lemaisa as well. But instead of just relying on the Rav, that besides what the Rav is doing, the person has the responsibility himself to try and learn the halachas as well as possible. I don't know what inside of it. There's a zayr called Shlashim Kanamachag, and I think what it does is it takes Hilchos Pesach and divides it up into 30 parts. So a person can go through the Sefer in 30 days and cover all the Hilchos Pesach. I'm not sure if it uses the Mishnah Berurah or it uses something else. I've seen the Sefer. I don't know. I've never really looked inside what it has inside. But I think that's the idea behind the Sefer. The Shlach Kaddish says, the Moshe Disher adds a fascinating point from the Shlach Kaddish, that it's appropriate on the Yom Tov itself to learn from the Masechtas, which apply to that Yom Tov. So in Pesach, you would learn Masechtas Pesachim, Sukkah, you would learn Sukkah. And then he takes us a bite to Parshas Shkolim, you should learn Masechtas Shkolim. In Parshas Porah, you should learn Masechtas Porah. So he applies it. I did not recall who it was with, the name of the Gadol. There was a Gadol who took this step weiter, and every Shabbos he learned Masechta Shabbos and Masechta Zeirvin, although Masechta Shabbos and Zeirvin every Shabbos. Now, it's quite difficult, but I promise you that they tell me after the 100th time, it's not so hard. So if you learn Masechta Shabbos and Masechta Zeirvin in every Shabbos, by the 100th time you're doing it, it's doable. It's a total of about 260 blot to do that in one Shabbos. Okay. Fine. Now, the next thing he moves to is this minhag of giving money for chitim. Huminhag kadam is mana gemara. So this minhag is a minhag which is already based on a gemara. It existed at the time of the gemara. Huminhag was ever Yerushalmi, Parakamba, the Baba Basra. So, in the Baba Basra, in the first parak, is one of the places in Shas where it talks about the ability of the members of different responsibilities of the members of the city towards each other, regards to paying for the wall around the city, and the different practical needs of the city, and the lachas of tzedakah, which is incumbent upon every member of the city that they have to contribute to the local tamchui and the kupa. So in that discussion, it mentions this idea that before Pesach, there was a responsibility to make sure that they were given, to give them either chitim or kemach for that purpose. Okay? So Mishnah Berurah points out, and so this is not just a minhag ba'alma, but it's a minhag which there is authority of the governing body of the city to force everybody to contribute. Chitim l'chalkon. I mean, the Nesedim minhag l'chalk lam kemach. The Mishnah Berurah says that our minhag nowadays was to give flour. So the Gemara introduces an idea. The Gemara says a story with a person named Abba Umna that that's who it was with. I think it was Abba Umna. Or B'chilkiah. The Gemara in Tainus, the Gemara says that once they used to have stock Matan B'Seser, one time one of the Neim was looking for them to see who it was, and they didn't want him to know it should be Matan B'Seser. They ran away and they ran into Kibshon Eish, and he and his wife, and his feet started to burn, and his wife said, "Put your feet on top of my feet, I'll protect you." So Morris says, so he felt bad that apparently his wife had a bigger schus of stucco than he did because his feet were burning. His wife's feet were not burning. And so she said, he used to give money and she used to give food. So by giving food, then Ani was able to benefit from the matana more quickly. And therefore, there was a greater schus to her stucco than to his stucco. But not that it was. So same thing over here. It's not the Morris Lushan of Makarva Haniyasa Tvei. The benefit from it was more quick. Okay, so this way, I remember. Good, okay, thank you. So Some people take this a step farther, so that if you can give matzahs, you give matzahs, right? Or you can give money to buy the matzahs, so that's even more makur of the handa. So the responsibility to give is enough that they should have what they need for the whole Yom Tov. So giving him the flour, but he can't afford the wood, or he doesn't have the oven, doesn't help. He needs to give him money, which will cost for the cost of the baking, whatever he's going to need for that purpose. Okay. So now, at what point are you considered a toshav in the city that the city can force you to join into this tax to support the other aniyim of the city? Okay, so the Ramah says it's 12 months. So the Moreh Barabbas in the first paragraph does discuss this issue that certain, in regards to certain responsibilities which you share with the city, by living there for 30 days, you're already considered a member of the city and you have a chiyuv to join. And certain chiyuvim actually don't only kick in after longer than that, after 12 months. Okay. Now, so the Mishnah Berurah like this, and hey, you're based Chodesh. Ibn Arayim Shenichnas Be'ir Al Das Nishtakei Hashem Le'al Tachayiv. So number one, if a person has settled there, he's clearly, the purpose of his coming here was not to be here for a period of time and then leave, but his plan was to settle here. He becomes a member of the city with the responsibilities to the community immediately. V'ayin b'shari tshuva, that the shari tshuva discusses this idea that there are times that a person's chiyuv kicks in immediately. Doesn't need to wait for a period of time to pass. Then said the Yubay's Chodesh, Shayakam Lo'oni, Shalshayam Litan Lo'i Kishar Niyah Yir. It works the other way around. I have a chiyuv to make sure all the Niyim of the city have what they need. Who's called an Oni of the city? So I have a transient Oni who comes by. Do I have to give him this food? So the chiyuv apply, the definition of being a member of the city, that as an ani who's a member of the city, which the city has a responsibility to make sure he has his needs, only if the ani's been there, similarly, he's been there for a period of time. Yud Beis Chodesh. But if he's moved here to settle, so then the chiyuv is immediate. Nowadays, the way apply this rules, we say that a person who's living here has a chiyuv to contribute, and a person who is only who's living here, you have a chiyuv to support. We define those by a 30-day period. If a person's been in the city here for 30 days, even though he's not planned to be here permanently, but he's been here for 30 days, he's here long enough that he has responsibility towards the members of the community. Now, so, okay, that's very nice. So the Ani who's been living here for 30 days, we have a chiyuv to support him, etc. The guy who has not been here for 30 days, we say, let him starve to death. Doesn't sound right. Now, Afilo Ani she'ein dar po yishloshim yom. He has not been living here for 30 days. Av she'ein mechiyuv melitin loy kemach l'chol yom yapesek b'basachas. So we don't have a responsibility to give him food for the whole Yom Tov as a full-fledged chiyuv. There's an Ani who's here, so I have to feed him. I can't ignore him. So as the days come, I would have a chiyuv to make sure he has food for that purpose. So where do you find such a concept? So the law is, how much you give him? So the loch is, if there's an oni who comes to town, and he's going to be here for a few days, but while he's here, the community has a chiyuv to make sure, and they would give it from the what's called the tamchui. They would chiyuv to make sure that the oni has food enough to eat two meals per day, and three meals on Shabbos. So this would extend to Yom Tov Pesach as well, like anybody else. So for every day he's here, I have a chiyuv to make sure he has food for that purpose. I don't have to give it to him up front. I give it to him each day. So he would, in the morning, he would have to ask for his needs for the day, and we would give it to him. As opposed to anyone who lives here, the chiyuv is to provide with him before Yom Tov with the cover all of his needs for the whole Yom Tov. So everybody who's in for 30 days has to, for a year, has to contribute. And nowadays we say 30 days. Even a Talmid Chacham does not have to contribute to the regular taxes, which that's a halacha in the Gemara. The Talmid Chacham doesn't have to give the taxes. Any taxes which are there for shmir purposes, the Talmid Chacham doesn't have to contribute because by virtue of his learning Torah, he is actually a shmir to the city. But that's the yanim of shmir, etc. But the yanim of this stock, he is mechuyev to contribute as well. By pribegadim, so they have a chiyuv to give the what's called kimchah the pischa. Now, how do you divide up the responsibility to give, contribute? Everybody's mechuyev to contribute, and then we give it out to the niyim. So, how much each person mechuyev to contribute? So, this discussion applies in many of the areas of the halachas of sharing the burden of the city. Sometimes we do it by a head tax. Let's say, for argument's sake, the wall around the city, right? So the wall around the city is protecting everybody in the city. So I have 8 members of my household. 8 people are being protected by that wall. My neighbor only has 4 members in his household. So 4 people are being protected by the wall. So that'd be called in the halacha of the fina foshes. And the other option is a few moments. Well, I'm a rich person. I can afford to give more. The person next to me is a poorer person. He can't afford to give as much. So that's called a few moments. So do we divide it, Lefina Foshes, or do we divide up these responsibilities amongst the members of the city, Lefina Momen, or Lefina Foshes? In certain cases, we actually do a combination of the two. We do half of the taxes raised, Lefina Foshes, and half of the taxes raised, Lefina Momen. So there would be a Bezdin, which would be Mechuyev to evaluate each person's financial worth, and how much of a burden they're Mechuyev to share in the communal costs, etc. So the Mishmur is saying over here that in regards to this halach of Kimchah Pischa, so the Shir Nasina is Lefi Mamonah. So a person who has more money has a greater chiyuv to give. So for argument's sake, we need to raise $1,000 and there are 10 members in the city. So we would calculate the full value of their wealth and each person's ratio, how much wealth they have. And then we would divide $1,000 based on ratio. So this person, he's a very, very wealthy, and his wealth is equal to 20% of the rest of the city. So he has 20% of the chiyuv of the $1,000. This person, his wealth is only equal to 3% of the rest of the city. So he's chiyuv to give 3% of the $1,000 till the total $1,000. Yeah. Okay, so the law is you cannot use Meisr money for Kimchah de Pischa. You cannot use Meisr money for anything which is a chiyuv. Meisr money is the only thing, the right to use Meisr. It's only for things which are a rishus. I can't pay off my responsibilities with you. My money is not my money. So I owe somebody money. I said, that's great. I'll take Reuven's money to pay my chayv to Shimon. It's not my money. My money is not my money. So I cannot use my money to pay off my responsibilities. If halacha says this is a personal responsibility that I have, I can't use my money for this purpose. Again, nowadays it becomes more complicated because we don't have a clear kehila with a clear assessment of how much I owe, and then so the kimchah d'pischa becomes nowadays something which is voluntary. So the argument to me that I should be able to then use my money for that purpose, because it's not really a clear chiyuv. Some suggest that giving some minimal amounts, a person cannot use ma'aser money for. Everything beyond that, a person can use ma'aser money for that. How they deal with regards to saying, well, this person has a lot of money, but he also has a lot of expenses. They do take that into consideration. The actual formulas I don't know offhand. Okay. People who are, whatever reason, opting out of giving. So even a situation where we lack the ability to force them, we should know that they're doing something which is incorrect. You do a sheni aniyim. The source says that you should know that the aniyim expect this. Kushem yisharu b'doichik b'raban hu yalim anyam yizeh. And if the situation means that they end up not having, because people are not contributing, so that can be a tremendous source of avera to the individuals and danger for those individuals who are not contributing. Because when the Nehemiah are expecting something and then they get disappointed, so that crying out to Hashem of the disappointment is not a safe place for the other person to be. So you do Mashamar Gomorrah and Hedon of Lamane Koltainus. So the Gemara says that the standard musig of a tainus, that part of the tainus was they would distribute stock. That was part of the purpose of tainus is tshuva, especially the tanesim, which were instituted because of lack of rain, etc. The tanesim were instituted as a vehicle of stock. A vehicle of tshuva. And part of tshuva, the process is staka. So the Gemara says that if the standard was to give the neim staka on the tainus, and if you would have a tainus which the community was lacking giving their staka, kila shefek domin, it's as if you're considered as if a person is considered, the people of the city are considered as if they're right skin. Okay, you can imagine that's not necessarily a good place to be if you should be considered a Ritzayach. Okay. Now, just take a look. There's a beautiful Sharatzian over here. It's a cotton yud. So why is this more an issue with Pesach than let's say, the other Yom Tovim? We find the Musik, we don't find anywhere there was a din of Kimcha Datzeris. The reason why we find this issue being more significant for Pesach than the other Yom Tovim, it's considered a time of Cheres. Everybody sitting there has Seva and their beautiful Seder, ethnic royalty. So everybody's happy. And it's a cover of Hashem, Shaniyim, Yu, Oz, Re'evim, Umitzmeyim. But the Neim should be starving and thirsty. Okay, noistim loy kemach al kolimus of Pesach shul gam hula sabri sees mitzrayim b'simcha. So that's why we give it to him up front. That's why we give it to him, and we give it to him up front. So he knows he has it. So he feels confident. He feels secure. He's able to sit down with the Seder, knowing the family's needs have been taken care of. Avoid tamposhet. The chometz enam rosher lecha. You can't eat chometz. It's not easy to buy matzah. So if you don't provide him with matzah, or at least the vehicle to make matzah, so what do you want him to do? We nowadays, we live in a world where you buy matzah. Again, like this, my shirga said, you know, nobody bought matzah in the shtetl. Everybody made their own matzah. So he doesn't have the vehicle to make his own matzah. What's he supposed to do? Where's he going to get matzah? Chometz, you can go to. There was a bakery. There was no bakery for matzahs. So you're gonna one either he's gonna be berov, or he's gonna be eating something which is questionable whether it's mutar eat or basic. So mitzosi zeatam be matiyuda. So matiyuda says this svora. That's an issue. That's why we're more careful with Pesach. Okay. Now, the Bir Lacha points out that you give it to the Niyim, Yud Beis Kaddish, just a small bir halacha. Noisin ze avra mi, sheyesh no mozun, Yud Dalet Sudas. Avich ze ein noisin, but mikupa, kumavur bi yardaya, pechus stoka. So in Hilchos Tzedakah, so there is the person that has no food at all, you give him from what's called a tamchi, which means that's mazon for each day. A person who doesn't have enough for a week, you give him from the kupa. You provide for him. A person has enough food for the week, you don't give him from either of those things, but he's able to collect tzedakah. But this did a timcha the pischa, even though he has 14 days worth of food. He's still an oni. We still have a chiyuv to give to him because the tzoras are merubas, and we have a chiyuv to give to him as well under those circumstances. Okay. Let's just do sif beis. We'll leave the mishaburas for the next year. The next year, I know somebody mishaber pointed out to me that I mentioned that the day of shir is Tuesday night. I was losing my cheshbon. Tuesday night. Tomorrow night is Yom Tov. So, be it that we do not hold of Zoom being mutter and Yom Tov, contrary to some opinions out there who are suggesting Zoom is mutter for the Seder, to prevent isolation, etc. So I spoke about this in one of my shurim that's not reliable. So since we can't do Zoom on the night of Pesach, and I'm not going to let you into my house because of social distancing, so we're going to have to wait till the next year is going to be next Monday night, because Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, not going to be possible to have shir. So the next shir, Be'ez Hashem, after this will be Monday night. So let's just at least chaperine the sif, and we'll leave the shabur for next week. So number one is that the minig is there's no tachanun. The whole month of Nissan. We don't say tzikoscha tzedek b'shabbos b'mincha. B'emes bidim boy, we don't say aspedim during the month of Nissan. B'emes anim boy, we're not kaveya t'tainas sibur during the month of Nissan. A person who wants to fast privately, he could do so. But we do have one time of Sibur, is that the Bukharim fast Erev Pesach. During the time of the Kavura, there is a series of tefillas that we say over there, that it's actually a poem, accepting Hashem's judgment, that's called Tzedakah Din. So that's not said during the Kavura, during Nissan. So now on a personal, Ramo says a personal level, a person would be knowing the fast on the yard site. He should not do so during Nissan. Tanis Chalayim is Misana, but Tanis Chalayim is Mutter. You'll have to fast Tanis Chalayim even on Shabbos. So I want to point one thing out over here, is a thing which people are confused about, that the few tefillahs which we find optional in general during davening, sometimes we say them, sometimes we don't, is tachanun. Tachanun is not always said. Sometimes we don't say tachanun. We always say aleinu. We always say shir shayayim. Well, ain't armin shir shayayim, you know, and this and that. There's no such thing. We always say shir shayayim. We always say aleinu. Sometimes we don't say tachanun. Lametzeach is not always said either. So any day was considered a semi yom tov. So you can't say Yom Chayim B'Yom Tzora, because you're not supposed to call this day a Yom Tzora. It's a day of Tzora. What do you mean? It's a day of Yom Tov. So you can't say Lametzeach on Shabbos. I mean, unless there's a Chayil Masukin who's Lefaneinu, right? But in general, we don't want to title this day with the title of Yom Tzora, because it's not a Yom Tzora, it's a Yom Simcha. So Lametzeach is only said on days which deserve a title of a semi, even a minimal day of Simcha. So Erev Pesach has that status. But the day before, it's Nissan, but you still say Lametzeach. Keler Chapayim, which is the tefillah which is said on Mondays and Thursdays, you finish one Esrei, you say the long Tachanun, you say Kaddish, the Katzi Kaddish, and then before it's Sefer Torah, you say Keler Chapayim. That it does not go together with Tachanun. It goes together with Lametzeach.
Any day you don't say Lam Netzach, you don't say Keler Chapayim. Any day that you say Lam Netzach, you say Keler Chapayim. People think, well, you don't say Tachanun, so you don't say Keler Chapayim. That's incorrect. So during Chodesh Nisan, even when you're davening B'yachid, you don't say Tachanun, but you will say Keler Chapayim on Mondays and Thursdays. So for example, the Monday after Pesach, so Monday morning, it's still Nisan. The Thursday morning, it's still Nisan. It's Erev Rosh Chodesh, right? So you will not say Tachanun, but you will say Kerech. You're davening B'yechidus, but we still will say Kerech Chapayim. Erev Pesach, because it has a status of a semi yomtiv, you don't say Kerech Chapayim or Lam Netzeach. So if Pesach falls out on a Monday night, on a Tuesday, Pesach can't fall out on a Friday. Pesach can fall out on a Monday night. So in a case of Pesach falls out on a Monday night, so Monday morning, which is Erev Pesach, different than the rest of Nisan, then you would not say Lam Netzeach, and you would not say Keler Chapayim either. But the rest of Nisan, you will say Keler Chapayim. Even though you're not saying Tachanun. And we don't see this on the third Erev Pesach because that connects to the Korban Torah, which has chametz with it. And you don't say it on Erev Pesach. You will not say it during Chol HaMoed either. There's the union of Yisruchag making Yisruchag a special day. So we don't fast on Yisruchag. For our purposes, that'll be the Chutz Lords. That's going to be on the Mashiach doesn't come. And we're still in Chutz Lords, so that will be on the Friday Erev Shabbos. That's Yisruchag. So Milvan, the fact that it's Nissan, you're not going to say Tachanun, but the union of having a little bit more extra element of Simcha or Suda on Yisruchag as well. Okay, Rabbi Sai.